Good morrow, and welcome back to the realm. I am epic fantasy author JV Hilliard, your friendly neighborhood scribe. And for those of you marking your first adventure into my realm, this is my vast and sweeping domain where I feature a variety of creatives on a weekly basis, and each of them specialize in their own art form. And tonight we have another special guest in Heidi Skinner. I'll introduce her in a second. But as always, if you like what you hear, you can find me and my epic and dark fantasy novels at jvhilliard.com. Or you could follow me at JV Hilliard Books on X, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or just look for me as old JV Hilliard on Facebook and Discord. So as we reach our witching hour, I want to thank our longtime sponsor, Altered Reality Magazine, www.alteredrealitymag.com. And if you are a fan of speculative fiction or speculative poetry, please go to alteredrealitymag.com and check it out. It has sci-fi, it's got fantasy, it's got dystopian, it's got horror, it's got gothic, it's got monsters, you got cryptids. You'll find anything you want to find there. We even have dark poetry. I didn't know there was something called horror poetry until I owned the magazine, and there's plenty of it out there. So if you like that kind of stuff, check us out at alteredrealitymag.com. And today, as I mentioned a little earlier, we are chronicling the adventures of fellow speculative fiction scribe Heidi Skinner, or H.S. Skinner. Heidi, well met and welcome to the realm.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, tell our listeners a little bit about you, the kind of stuff you like to write, and we'll get into some questions.
Okay. I write like I read, which is pretty much everything. I do a little bit of fantasy, some romance, some romanticy, some young adults. Pretty much like I read. Whatever my characters tell me to write.
That's interesting, because I know a lot of authors that say that too. It's like people living in their head that are just trying to get out. So I think that's a really good explanation to that kind of stuff. Because that, you know, you just mentioned a number of categories that you write in. Do you find that is something that comes to you naturally, or is that something that poses a problem? I hear that some authors complain that often, you know, if they write in too many genres, it's hard for the readers to find them, or maybe they're writing in something that their readership isn't even aware that they're writing in. But it sounds to me like your stuff is all blended together pretty nicely. At least there's some proximity to it all. It's not like you're writing romance and horror. You know, it's here. It's like you said, you have romanticism, you got your YA stuff, you got your fantasy stuff. But how do you feel as a writer that's benefited you, or have you ever seen it as an issue?
For me, it's not any problem switching back and forth, because it's like talking to one friend and talking to another friend. You talk to both of them and you can interact with both of them. You don't necessarily interact the same way. And I think a lot of times writers are like actors, because actors tend to get locked into a certain character. Bad guy, good guy, wimp, you know, whatever. And a few of them can do multiple characters, but a lot of them are stuck with that. Whatever they did first, that seems to be what they're stuck in.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you're writing now. What is your work in progress? And I also want you to touch base a little bit for something that's maybe a little bit more my wheelhouse, is your last Dragon Healer. Now, I know that's romanticy, as you described. And for those of you who don't know what that is, that's fantasy and romance kind of smashed together. Tell us what you're working on now, and touch, you know, a little bit on Last Dragon Healer.
I just started another young adult because I don't have anything else to do. I have seriously like 10 or 15 books going in all stages of completion, from just need to be published to just a few paragraphs written and I need to start over. The Last Dragon Healer really amused me. I grew up reading Anne McCaffrey and Andre Norton and those writers, and I really like that juxtaposition of fantasy, but not what I call high fantasy, where everything's magic and everything is different than what normal life would be. My fantasy is just kind of real life with a little bit of magical elements thrown in, like dragons or telepathy or something like that.
So let's delve a little bit into that for a second, because I think, you know, when you're writing a fantasy romance, there's obviously an expectation from the romance fan that they're going to see something that they're used to. But then you've got this otherworldly world building opportunity to put something around it. But you don't want to, like you said, you don't want to kill it with too much high fantasy, right? So you just want to have just enough to keep the fantasy reader also involved. This is a trend. Romanticy is really hot right now and has been for a while. Was that what took you down this path, or was this just one of those stories that were rolling around in your head?
That one was just rolling around in my head. I really like romance in most of my stories, and to different degrees, depending on the characters in the story. The dragon healer, I mean, you can't have a good female lead without a good male lead, so it kind of goes hand in hand.
Did you find that when you wrote the first story that you knew it was going to be a trilogy? I mean, I know that you kind of set this up as book one of the trilogy. Did you know ahead of time, or when you got to the end, you're like, oh, there's more story to tell?
When I got to the end, the guys are like, no, we need more books. So yeah, I went with that.
So are the new books going to be the same characters then, or is it going to be a scene from a different angle? I was at a con recently with an author who wrote a trilogy, and each of the three books could be read in any order, and each of the three books looked through the eyes of a different character but told the same story. And I thought that was interesting too. Is yours linear? Is book two, book three, are they going to look through the eyes of a different character, or are they going to be, it's a continuation of the story to some sort of epic ending?
Different characters, but they all cross over in the third book. Most of my books aren't written as series, other than the Dragon Sister trilogy, but all my characters kind of wander in and out of everybody's story. So
you write under Heidi Skinner. You also write under H.S. Skinner, and you do that for the benefit of young adult and, new adult and beyond. Why did you make that decision? Was that important to make that distinction for you? Was it something you were coached to do? A lot of our listeners also happen to be writers. And so, for them, pen names are not all that foreign, but oftentimes it's a hard decision to make as an author. And I'm just curious how you came to that conclusion.
I don't care what anybody reads. And I read a lot of stuff when I was younger that was probably way above my pay grade, but my parents didn't say no and didn't care, as long as I understood what I was reading and it wasn't too explicit. I made the distinction because some of my adult stuff gets really spicy. And like I said, I don't care what anybody reads, but I don't want, middle schoolers, high schoolers getting a hold of that and by mistake and getting in trouble. So I did Heidi Skinner for the young adult and HS for the adult.
So let's talk about your books in a little bit more in depth. Tell us about your favorite characters. I mean, do you have a favorite character of all the books? Or is it, like everybody is mom's favorite? Like, how does that work for you? Do you have one that you say, this is my best character or my favorite kid, that kind of stuff, or no?
Probably depends on, I don't know. They're all like my best friends or sisters or whatever you want to call them, because they're all important to me. It's kind of like picking your favorite child. That's a hard call.
Yeah, no, I'm not asking you to. I don't want to. I don't want to get anybody mad here. any of your fake characters mad. But did you find when you were designing your characters that you find inspiration for the characters or the books and anything that you were reading, or TV shows, or, where did the ideas for the plot lines come from?
Surprisingly, a lot of my stories start out as dreams, and I just flesh it out. Sets me off. Everything I hear, everything I see, everything I do gives me a story idea, and I'm like, this character needs to learn how to do this, and this character does this, and this one's good at this, and this one can't do that, and it's, my mind is a jumbled place.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that a lot of your characters come from your dreamscape. I had the same thing. One of my main characters, and only one character, was basically me in a recurring nightmare I had in my late teens and early 20s. It inspired literally the character of Damus Alaric, who Had to. I put him in a a fantasy situation. Mine was not much of a fantasy; it was really scary. But ultimately, it's something that happens like that. Do you have those dreams regularly? Then are you one of those folks that dream real vividly and you can remember those?
The ones that I dream that I remember usually turn into stories. I dream a lot. Most of the time, it's so stupid I wake myself up laughing.
That's fair. Fair enough. So, well, let's talk a little bit. I visited your website, and first of all, great website. It's a lot of fun. And I would encourage anybody to go check it out if you have a minute. But the question I have for you is, obviously you're into gardening. You've got a green thumb. Two things. One, has that impacted your novels? And two, do you find any of the magic that you do in your own gardening and outdoor life? Are you able to embed that into some of your characters or some of your plot lines?
Definitely. My parents were gardeners. My grandparents were farmers. My great-grandmother was a Cherokee healer. So there's a long tradition of plant knowledge and gardening and outdoor stuff. And I think I imbue that in a lot of my characters.
That's fun because I used to do a lot of work with veteran organizations, and gardening and farming are two things they use for, in some cases, like personal healing and stuff like that, because it's calm. It's kind of a rebirth and it really kind of brings you back to the basics and things like that. But you as an author, do you find yourself getting ideas for your next book while you are gardening?
Or even
if it's just, do you? Let's talk about that for a second, because I think our readers will love to hear about it.
Cool. I've worked at the same garden center for 30 years, probably more. It's very soothing. It's very repetitious. And usually while I'm seeding things or watering, I can let my mind drift because it's not something I have to pay that much attention to. And I'm usually plotting dialogue or going over stuff in my head and trying to figure out whether that needs to be ahead of where I am or behind where I am, or if that really matches my character, or a lot of things like that.
So alongside your gardening, it reminds me of something you do at home, and obviously your home is important to you. It sounds to me from reading your bio that you have a really very large, close-knit family. How large is it? And have you ever cast anybody in your family as one of your characters, good or bad?
Oh, definitely on the characters. But I've got two sisters and two brothers, and we have a lot of others and children and grandchildren and nieces and nephews. And we try to do as much as we can together. We get together and just eat, and a lot of times go out on the boat or fish or, you know, just stay around the house. It doesn't have to be anything expensive or travel far or anything. We just enjoy being together.
That's cool. And have you found that helps you when you're involved with them with your writing? Is it something, like you said, is it almost like you're gardening and it's calming, soothing, and gives you ideas? Or do you find that it's a distraction, kind of pulls you away from it sometimes and gives you a break from the daily grind of writing?
I, from a young age, have been very good at shutting out the rest of the world, because being the oldest of five, and my daddy was the seventh of 10, so I had innumerable cousins and aunts and uncles, and there were always a lot of people around, a lot of noise, a lot of distractions, so I can kind of keep one ear out on that and see what's going on and tune them out enough to do what I need to do.
But The Realm is one of those shows where you get a lot of folks that are both readers and a lot of folks that are aspiring writers. So I'm going to ask you a few questions about your writing habits here in a second. And one of the ones I'm going to ask you is a piece of advice. So if you could tell our listenership what the one thing they should do for sure as an author, give them that one little piece of coaching advice, that golden nugget of wisdom, and then tell them the one thing that they shouldn't do because you tried it and it fell flat for you.
If you want to be a writer, be a reader. read good stuff, read bad stuff, read stuff you like, read stuff you don't like, read stuff with horrible punctuation, read stuff with good punctuation. Get that in your head so you know the kind of things you want to put in your writing and things you want to avoid. And what was the second part of that? I lost it. I'm sorry.
That's okay. The second part was, what piece of advice would you tell them? Definitely not do this because you tried it and it failed miserably.
For me, it would probably just be submitting to publishers, because they have different ideas of what people want to read. I want to write things that people want to read, and they want to make you drop 50,000 words or change all the characters or whatever, and then it's not your story anymore.
So was that the reason you chose to do the independent authorship stuff, or have you ever been traditionally published in the past and it was just something that turned you off?
Have not been traditionally published for my books. I wrote an article for a local paper, the gardening article, for a long time. So that part of it was good. I don't have any problem with anybody traditionally publishing. It's a small market, though. And it's hard to get a publisher to look at you, even with an agent. And I'm not saying it's impossible. For me, it did not work out.
Yeah, I am traditionally published, and it's a little different than I thought it was going to be, right? It's just learning the marketplace and understanding the industry. And for them, it's a business, right? And they're trying to sell books, and they want to sell books that, that they know people are going to like, and that they have to be a certain size so that they fit on the bookshelf, and it's easier for them to get into bookstores. And it's very formulaic, and you don't even understand that as an author most of the time. It's what I've found is, you think you wrote a good story, it doesn't matter how thick the book is, but it really does. It's strange, but true. So I get that. But look, we're coming to the end of our show, and we do this with all of our guests, for a few minutes before we let you go. We're going to do a lightning round here. So I'm going to have some rapid fire questions for you, and I'm going to throw some stuff out that we're just going to have some fun with. So are you ready to play the lightning round?
Ready.
All right. First one's an easy one. So you're invited to a lunch with an author or a poet, dead or alive. Who would that be, and why would you choose them to come?
Probably Andre Norton. I would love to get inside her brain and explore her stories more, because she always leaves you with so much. It's like she's just giving you the bare details, and there's so much more background that she never gets around to explaining, but is there, and it's tempting.
Well, I heard you say Anne McCaffrey before, and I thought you might go down that road, but hey, you picked a good one, so I no complaints. I'm a Dragon Riders of Pern guy, so I think I would have fallen into that trap. So No, it's okay. So I know you're a big outdoors woman. Do you have a favorite place to go outside? It doesn't have to be your neighborhood trail. It could be anywhere in the world. What's your favorite place to go?
We live close to the beach, so not much this time of year because the tourists are too much of a pain. But we go to the beach a lot, and we have some great trails around here. Going to the mountains end of September. I love the North Carolina mountains. Great places.
Well, do you have a top place on your bucket list you want to kick off there?
Anywhere in the world?
Anywhere in the world.
Probably Australia or New Zealand, but I don't want to travel to get there. I just want to be there, if that makes sense.
Like teleport there?
Yes, please. See me up, Johnny.
I hear you there. I hear you. That's my biggest concern, too. It's like a day's worth of flight, and I'm just not a day's worth of flight kind of guy.
No,
this is unfortunate, but I know. So, all right, I'm going to switch this up on you. I'm going to do something. I know it's your hobby as a gardener. What is the easiest plant to grow for beginners? And what plant is the most annoying to grow? So give us some green thumb advice here.
Peace lily is probably the easiest. It's pretty hard to kill those. And hard would be orchids. Those suckers are finicky.
Look, I, I have the worst green thumb in the world. I have a black thumb. It's just horrible. And, you know, so I need all the advice I can get. So for me, peace lily, yes, check mark. Orchid, no, bad, stay away or else I'm going to kill it. Gotcha. Thank you very much for that. Last question. There's a library burning and you could rush in and help. And you can only save one book and it can't be one of yours. Which book would you save and why?
Serum. It is the greatest thing. I love that book. It starts out with an Ice Age family and follows this village and this town and this area that grows up for the next several thousand years. And it talks about how the characteristics are passed down from family to family member. And it's sort of during the time of the cathedrals being built and talks a lot about the stonemasons. And Salisbury is actually where people started using last names because there were so many people in a concentrated area. You would have John the Baker and John the Tanner and John the Blacksmith and John whatever. So you ended up with John Baker and John Smith and that. And it was a really interesting book.
It's you know, I knew you might go there because I know you and I have talked off air before. And, you know, that doesn't surprise me. That's a classic because it's just written very uniquely. So I would encourage, if you haven't had a chance to read it, go out and check that out. I think Heidi's right on the point. So before I let you go, remind everybody where they can get your books and where they might be able to follow you on social media.
My books are available on Amazon, ebook or Kindle, I mean, ebook or paperback. My website is hsskinner.com. I'm on Facebook at hsskinner. I think that's about it.
Well, Heidi, thank you very much for coming on The Realm tonight. We really do appreciate it. And to our followers, thanks again for lending us your ear today. And remember to check out alteredrealitymag.com. That's alteredrealitymag.com for your favorite fiction and poetry that is related to the speculative realm. So if you like that horror stuff, you like that sci-fi fantasy stuff, you'll find it right there. And until next time, I am JV Hilliard, and may your gods go with you. Heidi, very much thanks again for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me.